Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is our first show of the month of October and of the autumn season, so I want to welcome you all. I hope you had a good summer. It was certainly one that was impacted by a lot of negative things, but you have to make the best of it and stay optimistic and trust in your Creator. Well, anyway, this is Bostonian coming to you live from the Hub, Boston, Massachusetts, on October the 3rd at 11 p.m. on a night where the temperature at airtime was 62 degrees, so we're starting to get the cooler weather, and it wasn't a really hot summer, although we did have a couple of heat waves of 90 degrees and above two heat waves, each one of 3 days, I believe. But I don't think we ever reached 100, maybe not even 95. But anyway, welcome to the show. I want to give you the call-in number. It's 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379, and if you call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, and if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Well, we got a lot to cover, so let's start with the usual coronavirus statistics, which I give every show for the last year or so. In the global level, the total infected, when I took the figures, were 235,673,874. That was up from 229 million the previous show 2 weeks ago. The active cases, 18,326,049, up from 18,686,942, so there's less active cases. And the deaths are 4,814,945 on the world level, compared to 4,704,326. And the recovered, 212,532,880, compared to 205,841,342. In the USA, we have a total infected of 44,514,338 compared to 42,895,046. And the active are 9,857,326, and that compares to 9,701,008. And the number of deaths in the USA, 719,915, and that's up from 691,858. And recovered, a large figure of the 44 infected, 44 million, almost 34 million, recovered compared to 32 million plus, almost 33 million 2 weeks ago. So the figures seem to be not quite as bad as they have been, but I think we have to question a lot of these figures. I don't know how they're assembled, but you can check them yourself on the website, which is www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. So let me go back and check the chat room. It is open, but there's no one in there right now. Again, the call-in number is 914-803-4379. The vaccine mandates are continuing. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that there are still 35 countries with over 1 million infected. That's been like that for 4 weeks or so, or 6 weeks possibly. And China, the next one in line is Serbia, followed by, I believe, Morocco. By the way, China is 112th on the list, way, way down there. They have a huge population, so one has to wonder how these figures are presented, especially when it comes to China. We've always been somewhat suspect of the secretive society that they are. They have over a billion people, and yet they're nowhere near the other countries. Even India, which has over a billion people, is like ranked about third, I believe, after the USA. Maybe they might be second. So as I was saying, the vaccine mandates continue. The airlines are installing them. You cannot fly in many airlines now without a vaccine passport. And we all know about the mandates being put on businesses with over 100 employees, that they are mandated to get vaccine passports or have their employees tested every week or so for the virus. So a lot of headaches for the business community. Many of us are suspect as to these mandates, and we've had rallies. I went to a rally last Sunday, a week ago, with a big crowd and protesting the vaccine mandates and other issues. We have issues with regard to the border security. Immigration is a big issue. What's going on in our schools is a big issue. And we now have a deficit problem. And the deficit ceiling is going to come up to be renewed again, I believe. I'll talk about that later on. But there's so many issues, and the people are now rising up in righteous indignation and saying that government is not serving us well. And before I get off onto some other subjects, I want to stay on the vax issue. And Diana Ploss, who had a big rally today in Plymouth, the Campfire Revival in Plymouth, America's hometown, where we have Plymouth Rock and where the Pilgrims landed, in addition to Jamestown when they first came over, escaping religious oppression, other oppressions in Europe, primarily in England. And they landed in Plymouth, and things developed from there. But they had a rally today in Plymouth called the Campfire Revival, and it was pretty well attended. And Diana Ploss, who was a candidate for governor of Massachusetts, was reporting on it. She does reporting work now, and I want to play a clip from her, not on that issue, but on what she has to say about the virus. So this is Diana Ploss, candidate for governor. Here we go.
Good morning. My name is Diane, and I am a Massachusetts gubernatorial candidate for 2022. I actually stopped on my way to work to make this very short video for you. Number one, I know many of you are panicking because the medical and religious exemptions are due this week, next week, and the following week. So I have 2 points to make to you. I want to explain that. Number one, before you fill out the form that your employer is sending to you, please have an attorney review it. You have to be very careful about what you put in those forms because it could be held against you. Number two, if you're somebody who is seeking a religious exemption and you want to use the aborted fetal cell line as a reason for not taking the COVID-19 biological weapon into your body, I want you to think about this. I believe that it is very likely that they will come out with another biological weapon saying that this has been created without using aborted fetal cell lines. So anything that you document, that you put down as a reason, whether it's medical or religious, for not taking this gap, you have to anticipate what your employer will come back with. You have to anticipate that. Finally, do not take this jab. Do not take this jab. If it doesn't kill you now, it will eventually. Do not take it. And for those people who have already taken a jab, do not despair. You can go on one of the protocols from American Frontline Doctors, from Dr. Zelenko, and there are others. Okay? You cannot divide one another based on whether or not you have the biological weapon injected into your body or you didn't. Please, stay strong, be a warrior. I am Diana Frost, and I approve this message. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Well, I believe she was also a nurse prior to switching into the reporting field, and she is somebody that I think is a true patriot, and she's very concerned about what is going on in our country, as Mark Levin and myself and many others, that Marxism is on the move, and all of these things that are happening are all devised to hurt our country and take away our freedom and liberty. And we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves and be aware of what's going on and trust in God and do your part to turn it around. Diana has done a yeoman's job, or I should say a yeowoman's job, in this regard. Well, I want to go on now to the story about a soldier. I'm sorry, about a Marine. Well, military personnel, Marine, by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. He's been in the news recently, and I want to fill you in on some of what's going on in his world. And first of all, there's no one in the chat room. If you do come in, give me your, I can't talk to you, but you can hope others will join you. So anyway, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, he is a Marine Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, based in North Carolina's Camp Lejeune. He was 3 years from retirement when he posted a scathing video criticizing superiors on August the 26th, the same day that the 13 U.S. troops were killed in Kabul by the suicide bombers over there. this is a quote from him, I'm not saying we need to be in Afghanistan forever, but I am saying, did any of you throw your rank on the table and say, hey, it's a bad idea to evacuate Bagram Airfield, a strategic airbase, before we evacuate everyone? Schiller said in the widely shared clip. Schiller was removed from command of the Advanced Infantry Training Battalion at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, the day after he posted his first video due to a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to command, according to Major Jim Stenger, a spokesman for the Marines. So he's now in the brig. He then sparked concern when 3 days after his original video, he posted a 10-minute clip resigning from the military and threatening to bring the whole F system down. His language was quite strong there. So I'm going to play a clip of him speaking about his views, and you can make your own determination as to his patriotism. So here we go.
The reason we're so upset with the Marines right now is not because the Marines on the battlefield let someone down. That service member has always rose to the occasion and done extraordinary things. People are upset because their senior leaders let them down, and none of them are raising their hand and accepting accountability or saying, we messed this up. If an 05 battalion commander has the simplest live fire incident, no complaint, boom, fired. But we have a Secretary of Defense that testified to Congress in May that the Afghan National Security Force would withstand the Taliban advance. We have chairmen of the Joint Chiefs who would come out as a member of that, who's supposed to advise on military policy. We have a Marine combatant commander. All of these people are supposed to advise, and I'm not saying we've got to be in Afghanistan forever, but I am saying, did any of you throw your rank on the table and say, hey, it's a bad idea to evacuate Bagram Airfield, the strategic air base, before we evacuate everyone? Did anyone do that? And when you didn't think to do that, did anyone raise their hand and say, we completely messed this up? I've got battalion commander friends right now that are posting similar things, and they're saying, you know, wondering if all the lives were lost and if it was in vain, all those people that we've lost over the last 20 years. And he goes on to say that we're all part of a chain. While every link may not be tested, the strength of the chain is only as strong as each link, and you got to be, you know, good link, something like that. And what I'll say is, and from my position, potentially all those people did die in vain if we don't have senior leaders that own up and raise their hand and say, we did not do this well in the end. Without that, we just keep repeating the same mistakes, this amalgamation of the economic slash corporate slash political slash higher military ranks are not holding up their end of the bargain. I want to say this very strongly. I have been fighting for 17 years. I am willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability.
Yes, I think we all need accountability for what's going on in our military and throughout our federal government primarily. It seems like they can't understand or do not want to understand what we want as patriotic Americans. Lieutenant Colonel Schiller has put a lot on the line here. As he said, he would give it all up because of what he believes is righteous, and he is receiving a lot of support. There is an organization called the Pipe Fitter Foundation. You can go to it at www.pipefitterfoundation.org. That's P-I-P-E-H-I-T-T-E-R, pipehitterfoundation.org. And on there, there's a little piece that says, the Pipe Hitter Foundation is incredibly proud to assist Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Schiller, a Marine who had the courage to to demand accountability from his leadership in the wake of a disastrous exit from Afghanistan that led to the deaths of 13 of his fellow service members. Lieutenant Colonel Scheller is an infantry officer with an exemplary career of 5 deployments and multiple senior awards, including, see if I can get that, including a Bronze Star Army Commendation with a V for Valor, 3 Meritorious Service Medals, 3 Navy Commendations with 17 years in the Corps. He was just a few years from retirement with a pension and benefits awaiting him, but none of that mattered more than doing what is right, demanding accountability. So how many people would do that, especially those that have so much to lose, but apparently doing what's right is very important to this person. So that you can go on there and read more about it on the website, or you can do your own independent research and check it out. Do your due diligence. He's not perfect. I'm sure he has issues that you might disagree with, but for the most part, as a person that was in the military myself and only got to the rank of second lieutenant, I certainly think that what he did was done with good intentions. But again, we need to do more due diligence. We all know about the chain of command. If we're in the military and that we want to obey the code of military behavior, but sometimes you have to speak out. I was thinking before the show about Lieutenant Callie, who took action in Vietnam and killed 200 or so civilians and ended up being found guilty. And he probably should have spoken up and said, I am not obeying. You do not have to obey unrighteous orders or immoral orders. You have to follow your conscience and let the chips fall where they may. So that's the word on Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. All right, let me give you the financial figures. The Dow closed at 34,326.46, down from 2 weeks ago, as was the NASDAQ and the S&P. The NASDAQ at 14,566.70, and the S&P at 4,357.04. They have been getting hit recently. And I think a lot of concern about where this economy is going. Gold closed at, it was down also from 2 weeks ago. It closed at 1761 even. It was over 1800 2 weeks ago. And silver was down also at 2253. And that's down from 2236. Sorry, that one is actually up from 2 weeks ago. Also, there's two financial people that I pay a lot of attention to, and that's Doug Casey and Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and they are both predicting bad times ahead, bad financial times. And you can go to kitco.com and find the video of Robert Kiyosaki in which he feels that October is going to be the month when we have a crisis. So pay attention, get your financial house in order, But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, get your spiritual house in order, because when everything, if everything goes negative in this world, we need to be in line with our conscience and our Creator, and have faith, and do not lose that trust in the Creator. Also, the debt ceiling is back again. I don't think I have time to go over that, but it's like a never-ending story, and my own viewers will probably raise it because that's what they do every time it comes up. But it's, again, another evidence that we are not being served well by either political party. And this is one of the reasons why Diana Bloss is running for governor here in Massachusetts, because she's disenchanted with both parties. There is a fallout. I was going to, maybe I'll play it in the non-live show, but I'll give you the real clear politics poll approval rating. They are the latest ones from September 20th to September 30th. The approval of Joe Biden is down from 2 weeks ago, now at 45.2, and the disapproval is at 49.2, that's also down slightly, but basically his approval rating is dropping because of all these things that are being thrust at us, and Americans are deciding that they have to take things in their own hand and remember what it says in the Constitution, that the people have a right to change the government if it is not serving them well. Let me start with a clip from Dr. Chaps on the poll numbers. Maybe I can squeeze it in. If not, I can carry it over to the next, to the non-live show. But here is Dr. Chaps. I can find him. Here we go.
The latest poll has Donald Trump winning his next election if he chooses to challenge Joe Biden in 2024. We interview Warren Cole Smith of Ministry Watch, who is helping ministries be accountable and good stewards.
Former Navy Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmitt took a stand to defend religious freedom by daring to pray publicly in Jesus' name. Now he helps you by reporting the news, discerning the spirits, and praying the scriptures. Would you pray with us? Here's Dr. Chaps.
God bless you in Jesus' name. My name is Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmitt, Dr. Chaps, and you're watching CIJN News. On this show, we like to do three things. We report the news, we discern the spirits, and we pray the scriptures in Jesus' name. Are you ready to pray the news with us? Here's our first story. A new presidential poll says that Donald Trump would win re-election, if he chooses to run in 2024, and he would beat Joe Biden if the elections were held today. Western Journal shows that while no other Republican would win an election against Joe Biden, Donald Trump would win if the elections were held today, according to a recent polling, as President Biden is now grappling with the fallout of his disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. This is the biggest crisis of his presidency, besides, of course, his overreaction to the COVID virus. But no other Republican has what Trump has, and Trump would beat Biden handily. This is a national Emerson College poll that favored Trump over Biden in a hypothetical 2024 head-to-head matchup, while the rest of the GOP challengers, the incumbent, did fare quite well. Of course, they're not as well known yet. But in a Trump-Biden face-off, Trump enjoyed a full percent edge over his successor, 47% to 46%. The Emerson poll found that Biden's current favorability is split in identical figures. 47% disapprove of his job performance, while 46% approve. The remaining 7% are unsure. The poll of 1,200 registered voters was conducted via phone from August 30th to September 1st. It has a margin of error of plus or minus 2.7 percentage points. In other words, it's a pretty accurate poll, but the decisions are still within the margin of error. And out of Democrats polled, only 60% say they would like to see Biden as their nominee in 2024. 39% prefer another candidate. Among Republican voters, 67% say they would make President Trump as their nominee for the Republican Party in primaries out of 8 other candidates listed. The other candidates, Republicans, for the nomination were polled in the following order. Ron DeSantis, 10%. Nikki Haley, 7%. Mike Pence, 6%. Mitt Romney, 3%, Ted Cruz, 2%, and Josh Hawley, 1%, and Tom Cotton, just under 1%. 5% said they would support someone else. And those are the poll results, according to Western Journal. And this is early. Our thanks to Western Journal for that report, but there's still midterms to happen, right? We're still months and months away from any candidate declaring that they want to run for president in 2 years. And Donald Trump already has a lead, is already favored strongly within the Republican Party and even nationally to beat Joe Biden. This maybe is good news for the conservative movement, but it all hinges on one man's decision. Is Donald Trump going to run for public office? Well, we have a Trump coin to send you with your donation up to $45, we're asking, but we'll include a copy of my book and the Activist DVD. Make sure you get a copy of that through our website, PrayInJesusName.org. People ask me, are you for Trump, against Trump? As our nonprofit, I'm not allowed to take sides. But personally, I think you might know where my allegiance lies with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has a kingdom of his own we're trying to establish here, and that is Matthew 6. And Jesus' prayer is political. This is a political prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth in the same way it's already being done in heaven. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we have Warren Cole Smith.
Okay, well, that's quite interesting news about the the polls favoring President Trump, and it's very early in the game. We haven't even got to the midterms, which is still about a year away. But Diana Ploss believes both parties need to be analyzed and challenged, and we've got to keep doing what we can to form a more perfect union. We got a lot of work to do, and I think each one of us has to do our own part. Also, voting coming up is a big issue, whether or not we have voter integrity. I know we have a Secretary of State running here that is running as a Republican against the incumbent Democrat, and she wants to get back to paper ballots and get rid of these voting machines and the technical software that they run on, and we don't know whether we're getting true results or not. You know, everything is subject to critical review. The audits in Arizona seem to be yielding a lot of results, and I believe the people that have finished the audit there have turned it over to the state attorney general, and we'll see what he does with it. But we're very, very suspect of what's being done in our name, and we the people are in charge of the country, but we've kind of lost track of things and allowed them to get out of hand over many years, probably at least back to the 60s and even before that maybe, but we believe Marxism has been on the move probably for that long, ever since we were warned about the attempt to take over a country by that Soviet KGB agent who talked about the four steps that I've spoken about before. We're going to take a little short break now, and I'll be right back. We're already in the non-live portion of the show, but let's take this short break, and I'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the rest of the non-live portion of the show, 15 minutes of me talking about certain issues that I think are important. And what I want to talk about tonight is an article that I have here from pastor and attorney Scott Lively, who ran for governor in Massachusetts in 2014 and as an independent in 2018. As a Republican, he never got it to the final because of the lack of he didn't receive proper treatment from the Republican Party. There was no debate. He wasn't able to properly get his message across without the necessary funds or the power structure support. But he was speaking what I think many of us believe in, a country that is loved by and for the people. So he has a post on WorldNet Daily every week. It comes out on Tuesday, I believe. And this one, you can go to that and read it yourself at www.wnd.org. Or possibly .com, I'm not sure now. But check out either one of them. WorldNet Daily. Let's see if I can find that. No, it's not on this paper. But you can look it up. WorldNet Daily. And read all of his articles and those of many other very good writers. So his headline is, in any Christian discussion of government and politics, the guidance of Romans 13, chapter 13, 1-7 is essential. And that reads, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whosoever therefore resists the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that's Romans 13, chapter 1 to 7. He then goes on to say, the submission to government commanded in this passage is conditional on its righteousness. So this kind of relates back to Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. He certainly, for 17 years, he was a true follower of military policies, but then he came to the conclusion about its righteousness. And so Scott Lavery goes on to say, to deserve obedience, government must, one, be a terror to evil works, and two, be a minister of God to the citizens for their good, and three, execute wrath upon evildoers, but never those who do good works. Critical for American Christians is also to also consider is the unique form of government, the unique form of our government. Unlike the Roman Empire, which ruled as a military dictatorship over all the local governments in which the early Christians were subject, America is the world's first, best, and longest-lasting constitutional republic. In this system, we, the government, and all the rights and duties of Romans 13 inure to us, both as citizens and as rulers, by delegation of our powers. That has given special meaning to Romans 13 for Americans, since the Declaration of Independence first stated that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. As the current American government become destructive to these ends, it most certainly has in innumerable ways. To realize the extent of its destructiveness, consider our government as not only directly and indirectly endorsed and funded the wholesale slaughter and commercial marketing of unborn babies for decades, it has now been exposed for buying and using harvested baby parts for medical research. In fact, this is my point. I think they're used in the vaccines that have been developed. This factual reality is more ghoulish than any fantasy-based Hollywood horror movie. So tell me, Christians, do we truly have a duty to submit to this government under Romans 13? On the contrary, do we have a duty to dismantle and reform this government forthwith and to ensure that the specific evildoers responsible for these atrocities are properly punished by duly constituted criminal courts for the wickedness they have done against God in our name? And he goes on to talk more about it, but I'm running out of time. But go and read that article. I think Americans, by and large, are very disenchanted, and some are talking about secession. But I think the Founding Fathers told us specifically what we have the power to do if we get to this point where things are so serious that the government has gone against the well-being of its citizens and those who they are supposed to be serving. So that's about it for this week's show. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on October the 17th, 2021. So good night, God bless you, and God bless America.